now is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urie, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Well, greetings and welcome to Bread of His Presence. So glad you could join us today for another study of the Word of God together. Today we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And I'll open just by reading it for you. It says, "Now as they were traveling along, he, Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who was also seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the preparations alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Now, Jesus had shared in Luke chapter 8 a parable of different kinds of ground on which seed fell. And one of these types of ground, he says, was covered in thorns. He says, "And other seed fell among the thorns, and when the thorns grew up with it, they choked it out." And then later, Jesus describes what this means. He says, "And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of life, and do not bear ripe fruit." Now, the fruit we all want in our lives is to become more like Jesus. But we so often allow ourselves to be distracted by things that don't really matter, at least on an eternal scale, things that perish. And two chapters later, here in Luke chapter 10, we find an example of somebody who is living a thorny life. Go ahead and look with me if you have your Bible, starting at verse 38. It says, "Now as they," meaning Jesus and his disciples, "were traveling along, he entered a village." And this village, as revealed in John 11:1, was the village of Bethany, which was 2 miles east of the temple in Jerusalem, on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. And it says, "A woman named Martha welcomed him into her home." Now, there was a saying that had been in circulation for at least about 100 years by this time, and it was a saying attributed to the great rabbi Yose ben Yoezer, who was one of the earliest rabbinic teachers who lived in the 2nd century BC. And the saying was this: "Let your house be a meeting place for the rabbis, and cover yourself in the dust of their feet, and drink in their words thirstily." Now, how this saying was applied in Jesus' day, and keep in mind that in Jesus' day, Jews were absolutely hungry for the Word of God. They would seek to study it at every opportunity that was available to them. And what they would do was they would open their homes to traveling teachers who would go from town to town to town teaching the Word of God. And many of their most gifted teachers asked for no pay in return. Instead, people were expected to open their homes, provide food, provide shelter to these wandering teachers and their disciples. And so that is what Martha has done. She's opened her home to Rabbi Yeshua so that her house might be a place in which the Word of God is made known in the lives of other people. And that's something that Martha often doesn't get credit for, but which she absolutely deserves. She sees and makes possible the bringing in of solid biblical teaching into her home and into the lives of other people. And to reciprocate Jesus' generosity in coming, we see that she wants to make sure that everything is top-notch, spick and span. And so Jesus and his disciples are welcomed into her home. And while they're there, Jesus, of course, begins to teach. Now, there's another woman who lives in the home, and that's Martha's sister, Mary. It says in verse 39, "And she had a sister called Mary, who was also seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word." Now, what is happening is Jesus, as rabbis would do whenever they taught, he had sat down, either on a low pillow or a chair, with his disciples sitting around him, on the ground or on mats. And he's begun teaching. And this is how the phrase, "sit at his feet," became an idiom for learning from a rabbi. In fact, if you wanted to tell someone that you were a disciple of a rabbi, you wouldn't say, "I go to so-and-so's class." No, you'd say, "I sit at the feet of Rabbi so-and-so." And we see in Acts 22:3 that Paul describes his discipleship relationship with the great Rabbi Gamaliel in those same terms. He says, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but having been brought up in this city, having been instructed at the feet of Gamaliel." And this is so significant because what does it say of Mary? She was also seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. What does that mean? Well, it means that she is being described as a disciple. Mary either is or is acting like a disciple. And Jesus has apparently welcomed her as such. And we see in Luke 8:2-3 that many women were following Jesus, which we'll get back to later on. But what's crucial for us to see here is that Mary is a woman who, like her male counterparts, is hungry for the Word of God. And so she's sitting there, thirstily drinking in Jesus' words. Now, while Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, it says in verse 40, "But Martha was distracted with all her preparations." Now, you can really picture Martha as Jesus is teaching more and more, and it goes longer and longer. Martha's getting angrier and angrier and angrier, more and more resentful towards Mary for not helping her in the tasks. And so finally, she gets angry enough to take action. Now, she could have quietly pulled Mary aside. She could have asked Mary for help. But interestingly, she doesn't do that. Instead, she interrupts Jesus' teaching and scolds not Mary, but Jesus. Verse 40 continues, "And she came up to him and said, in good Jewish fashion, putting her argument in the form of a question, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the preparations alone? Then tell her to help me.'" Now, I feel, and it's just a feeling, that Martha takes the route she does because she wants to induce or even manipulate Jesus into putting Mary into her place. She might be thinking, "Yeah, you want to sit at the feet of a rabbi? I'll get him to say the words you really need to hear." I mean, she's angry. And she's allowing herself to be driven by that anxiety and by that anger. Now, I'm sure that many of us can identify with Martha, because here's a woman who wants to fulfill her responsibilities. And for a woman in the first century world, that was hospitality, absolutely without question. Hospitality was a huge deal in the Jewish world. In fact, the Jews actually had a list of 6 things that in the life to come, in heaven, a man is to be praised for. And what do you think the very first thing on that list is? Hospitality. Loving strangers. And so Martha thinks that she's doing exactly what she is supposed to be doing. And in part, she is. But as we'll see, there are also some things that are missing in her that Yeshua helps her to understand. Now, I can't imagine the embarrassment that Mary must have felt at this point. I wonder if she already half got up just to appease her sister. After all, isn't it easy to allow ourselves to become controlled by the anxieties of other people? It's often so much easier just to give in and compromise, just to keep the peace. Now, Martha, and probably most of the people there, probably expected Jesus just to kind of nudge Mary and say, you know, Martha could really use your help right now. Can you just go help your sister? It would mean a lot to her. But what's so fascinating is that Jesus doesn't just take the path that will keep the peace. No, there is obviously, without question, some major dysfunction in this family. And Jesus cuts right to the heart of it. He recognizes the thorns and the thistles in Martha's life. And he's brave enough to confront them. Martha also was very knowledgeable about the Word of God, because later in the story of Lazarus, Jesus says to her, "Your brother will rise again." And what does she say? "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." You see, she has the Word of God sown in her heart, but it's getting choked out by what was more than just a normal level of hospitality. No, the text says she was distracted, which is actually translated from a word that literally means dragged all around. And you know, that is what anxiety always does. It drags us around. It controls us. And it always spreads into the lives of others, even the ones that we think we may be helping through our anxiety-filled serving. And the thing about anxious people is that they always have ways of justifying their anxiety. You ever notice that? And Martha's justification was no doubt this. "Sure, I'd love to sit at Jesus' feet, but I must deny myself and serve so that others can come into his presence." Now, look at your Bible for a second, if you have it with you. What passage comes immediately before this one? The Good Samaritan passage. What is the lesson in that passage? Well, what the Good Samaritan practiced. The second great commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. But Mary is following the first great commandment: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And the first must always come before the second. You cannot love your neighbor until you first come to love Christ, at least not completely. And that love, it can only become manifest in our lives as we sit at Jesus' feet. Now, Martha, she had kept the second commandment. She had, in serving Jesus and his followers, she had loved her neighbor as herself. But she had neglected the first part. And that's something that Jesus will never, ever tolerate in any of his disciples. And so he cuts right to the heart of it when, in verse 41 and following, it says, "But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Now, in saying this to Martha, Jesus is saying that being with him, listening to him, learning from him, always, always, always must come first. Doing things for Jesus is great, but if we don't take the time to be with Jesus, to abide with him, to sit at his feet, to relate with him, we'll never become like him. And so my challenge to you today, and to myself as well, is to make sure that we are doing more than just serving Jesus. let us make sure that first and foremost, we are taking the time to sit at His feet. In and through prayer, living in His Word, abiding in Him, so that in so doing, we might be remade in the image of our Creator. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.